This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about pineapple juice.
Yes.
Wait a minute. How did this happen? Didn't this like kind of fall out of another episode?
It totally fell out of another episode. I don't remember which one. I don't have any evidence that it was suggested by a listener. Our listeners hate pineapple juice and don't want to hear us talk about it, but we're doing it anyway.
That's right. Well, you know what? I'm so glad that we're finally getting around to talking about this because, number one, pineapple juice is delicious. Mm-hmm. Number two, pineapple juice is one of few products I can think of that come packaged the way it still does.
Yes, like, we're going to talk about that, yeah. But I do not know why. I was not able to figure out the answer.
Okay. And by like packaged the way it does, I mean like in these like cans, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, and this is like a sturdier can than like a, you know, a soft drink or soda can, right?
Right. It's more like a soup can.
It is. It's like a soup can. In this case, it's got like a little flip top tab thing like a Coke has. But it used to have, do you remember it used to have a little
peel off tab.
Yep. And underneath it was this little sort of
teardrop shaped opening that you could cut your tongue on.
Yeah. And then do you remember the larger version of this can, which you had to use a church key to open?
Yes. I feel like opening a can with a church key is a thing I associate with my dad opening a can of tomato juice, which I know is not the topic of this episode, but it's juice in a can. And like, I think of that as like a real dad thing to do.
I definitely think of it as a certain generation of adults like that are now your dad's age. They would have been opening a can like this. It would have been, I don't know, like the classroom assistant or something in grade school. Or if you ever had to go to like Sunday school or something like that, there was definitely somebody with a church key, not at like an actual key to the church, but a church key opening a can of pineapple juice.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's Sunday school. Otherwise, like without a church key, how would they get the classroom open? But like I still do this periodically. Like sometimes I'll open like a can of chicken broth using a church key. Like I don't know why that's better than just using the can opener, but I guess it's kind of fun. I imagine like 80-year-old men carrying around their church keys and like in case they need to open a can of something and then like getting them confiscated by the TSA when they try and get on the plane.
I'm not sure I have one. I don't think
really?
I have one.
Oh, yeah. I for sure do.
You know, we should do a whole episode on church keys, maybe.
Okay,
because
like
why
both
are they called church keys? It
that's
seems very
question.
Tongue-in-cheek, you know?
It does. Like how there's like a Italian pasta shape called priest stranglers.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never used mine to try and break into a church, but I've opened a number of cans with it.
Great. Matthew, so, you know, my memory lane involves a lot of church keys and a lot of cans.
Yeah.
What about your memory lane?
It involves like my earliest school lunch memories, which are memories of hot lunch in later elementary school, like fourth, fifth grade. And I remember like two basic things that I remember from hot lunch are stag chili. that would be served in a little styrofoam cup mm-hmm. on Wednesdays. Wednesday was mm-hmm. chili day. I will never forget. And little cans of Dole pineapple juice with the peel off. And like, yeah, like, I don't know when the last time, like if I sat down and I don't think you can buy styrofoam cups anymore. You probably can, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have been given a styrofoam cup in like sort of one of the states in the middle of our country within the last couple of years.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. You know how we always talk about like how if we had a time machine and we could use it just once, what would we do? This is going to be my time machine. I'm going to put some stag chili in a styrofoam cup. I'm going to open a little can of Dole pineapple juice, and I'm going to like suddenly, you know, look in the mirror and I'm 9 years old again.
Yes. And then you going to discover that I'm trying to remember what happened in the movie Big.
Yeah. First of all, he doesn't go from big to small. Well, I mean, I guess at the end of the movie, he does. But the movie isn't about like an adult becoming a child and getting into mishaps. Yeah, no, I'm realizing now, like, if I like went back and was 9 years old again, I would be like missing some of my favorite like grown-up things. So I'm going to skip that, actually.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about this stuff because I think pineapple juice, I feel like this is almost like a perfectly engineered food product.
It's really good.
And I know that it's not highly engineered, but it's exceptionally good.
It is highly engineered, as we will see.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay. So Matthew, you did the research for this. Educate me.
All right. So first off, a variety of different, a variety of different varieties of pineapple, I'm just going for it, are used to make pineapple juice. According to Wikipedia, numerous pineapple varieties may be used to manufacture commercial juice, the most common of which are smooth cayenne, red Spanish, queen, and abacashi.
I love this. Who's responsible for naming pineapples? This is great.
Yeah, and then I thought about making a like real or fake pineapple name quiz. Too lazy, but there are a lot more pineapple varieties that aren't used for making commercial juice, including Champaca, Monte Oscuro, James Queen, and PR1-67,
isn't that a public school somewhere?
It's a public school somewhere like in Brooklyn, and he's also like a robotic pineapple, like a steampunk pineapple.
Yes. PR1-67.
Yeah. Or maybe I mean cyberpunk. I always confuse this.
I wonder if it's one of the, did you ever watch Battlestar Galactica?
No, I didn't.
Oh man. The Cylons have numbers, model numbers. And I wonder if this is like a second generation model number, like a...
And a Cylon is like a space pineapple that tries to kill you?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Yep. You're going to love this show.
So we did do a pineapple episode, right?
Yes, I think
so.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
And I'm sure we talked a little bit about pineapple juice there. So like pineapples themselves are obviously probably an ancient food. Pineapple juice is not an ancient food because producing it like in more than like a, you know, trivial quantity requires industrial juicing, clarifying, and pasteurization. All right.
Wow. So, okay. Clarifying. Wow.
Yeah.
Are you going to clarify that?
I'm going to clarify that industrially.
Okay.
The first commercial pineapple juice producer was the Hawaiian Pineapple Company, now known as Dole, which developed the process in the early 30s and first marketed it in 1934. So, like before that, you know, if you think about a pineapple, how are you going to get much juice out of this and why before it's a commercial product, right?
That's true.
It is a juicy fruit, but it's also a very fibrous fruit.
It's also like large. It's not a shape that lends itself to like a reamer type device.
Yeah. I mean, I think like juicing in general is kind of a modern thing. In the past, you know, you would just kind of eat the fruit because like if you produce the juice, it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to not have as much nutrition and it's going to go bad right away. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like refrigeration obviously is another big part of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So unlike most juices, as we know, pineapple juice is mostly sold in cans. And wow, did I go down a rabbit hole trying to figure out why this is. Okay. And there are lots of purported explanations, most of which really don't make any sense. So like some people say, like, it's because it's not refrigerated and exposure to light would cause it to oxidize. Okay. But like, that is true. Like, it's no more true for pineapple juice than a lot of juices that are sold in glass bottles in the juice aisle. So,
yeah, what makes one juice more susceptible to oxidation? Oxidation than other juices?
I mean, it's going to be like the molecular structure of stuff in the juice, but I don't know. I mean, that could be the reason, but I couldn't really find any evidence that that was really the case, just people claiming it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say it's sold in cans because it's acidic, but so is orange juice, which is sold in plastic bottles. So is cranberry juice, which is way more acidic than mm-hmm. pineapple juice. And we, mm-hmm. you know, we just had some 100% cranberry juice.
I remember.
And oh, by the way, remember on the cranberry juice episode that we tried that 100% cranberry juice, which was very good, but like you could only drink like a homeopathic quantity of it because it was so strong. Right. Wife of the show, Lori, and I used some of the rest of it to make cocktails like vodka, tonic, and 100% cranberry juice. Really good.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That sounds fantastic. Okay. So how do they make this stuff? I mean, so not only do we have a fruit that is like very fibrous, but it's also got this core that is quite like woody.
It's got a
core.
It's
like the cob of a corn cob almost.
Yep. So I was hoping the answer was going to be like people stomp on them because I feel like that's how everything should be juiced. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know we bring this up from time to time, but you know the video of the woman falling out of the grape stomping vat?
Absolutely.
I think about this at least once a month. I probably watch it at least once a month.
Oh, I mean, I think it is one of the internet's best reasons for existing.
It is, yes.
The fact that that video can just be passed around and around and around and around, and you can revisit it anytime you want.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere out there, like the woman who fell out of the grape stomping vat is probably listening to this show right now.
She's probably going, oh,
God, I want to watch it right now.
That was a pretty good invitation, wasn't it?
It was very good. Yes. Yeah. You put me right there, like in the vat and then out of the vat. Anyway, okay. That's not how pineapple juice is made. So strap in because it's Wikipedia time in a big way. All right. Okay. Quote, to clean pineapples before juicing, a brush and spray cleaning machine is used to remove stains, imperfections, and pesticide residue. After cleaning, the fruit is put into a pineapple peeling and extractor machine to obtain pulps, which are put into a spiral juice extractor. So I think probably the peeling and extractor machine is like produces like, you know how like when you get like a big chunk of cored peeled pineapple? Mm-hmm. I think that is the output of the peeling and extractor machine.
Okay.
And then those pulps are put into a spiral juice extractor and a juice fine filter is then used to remove all solids, fiber, and colloidal particles from the pineapple juice.
So I think a spiral juice extractor, if I'm to have to guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that you explained
No. I want to hear your guess. What were you going to say?
I was going to say it's either like a big corkscrew.
Yeah.
Or it's a centrifuge. Get like the spiral, you know. Zzz.
I mean, it's basically a meat grinder, I think, without like the cutting part. Because it's like a big old screw that uses screw action to press the pineapple pulps against a screen and squash the juice out.
But so it is definitively not, it doesn't use centrifugal force.
It uses screw action, a phrase that I'm going to keep saying until you acknowledge that I'm saying screw action.
I never.
Okay. Oh, also, I don't know what this part of the spiral extractor does, but it features a part called a slag tank, which is like so fun to say. And like, isn't that a great insult?
What do you think the slag tank does?
I think maybe like it collects the solids that have been like totally juiced out, probably like drop into the slag tank.
That's what I was going to say too. And I wonder if then, like, you know, I think about how people use like parts of coconut for other purposes, like
Oh, yeah. We're going to sort of get to this.
Well, I feel like there you could do a lot with all that fibrous, de-juiced stuff, slag. Right? Slag. Yeah. All the slag in the slag tank.
Will you call me a slag tank? This is my new kink.
No, you've got a wife for that, dude. Go get some screw action.
Okay. Hang on. I'm texting Watson to ask, say, start to call me a slag tank. All right. So then a vacuum degasser is used to remove the air in the pineapple juice. Removing the gas prevents the solids from floating. I do think they just removed the solids before this, but I guess there are more solids. Degassing okay. also helps reduce foaming in packing. And then sterilization occurs in a heat exchanger. After this process, the sterilized pineapple juice is cooled to 50 degrees Celsius. Pasteurizing pineapple juice stops the enzymes that cause browning.
Ah, okay. That's meaningful. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So then the pasteurized pineapple juice is put in iron drums, aka steel drums, lined with aseptic.
Yeah.
lined with aseptic aluminum plastic composite bags. After cooling, the pineapple juice is put into bottles or cans using a filling machine.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Like, that's a pretty engineered food product, I would say, right?
Yeah. I mean, they are having to do a lot of things to get the juice out of the fruit, for one thing.
Yes.
And then they're having to do a lot of things to make the juice behave the way they want it to.
That's exactly it. Because, yeah, like, if you like, left out the pasteurization, well, I mean, first of all, it would grow bacteria, but it would turn brown.
Right. Do you think that, like, no, actually, never mind. I was about to say, do you think that, like, in health food stores,
they sell brown pineapple juice?
Like,
maybe.
Like,
how
you
can
get
know.
Like unsulfured apricots. But then I realized sulfurization is not the same as pasteurization.
But they sell
obviously.
Raw milk at, you know, health food stores. They might sell raw pineapple juice.
I bet it would have a very different flavor. The way that unsulfured apricots taste so different from sulfured apricots.
Yeah, we're going to talk about like a less processed pineapple beverage in a minute, which I haven't okay. had, but I'm very curious about.
Okay.
So Thailand, Indonesia, and the Philippines consume about half of the world's pineapple juice. And those countries, along with Costa Rica, are also the largest producers.
Okay.
And so important note, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, manufactured and canned pineapple juice can have finely insoluble solids, although it cannot have coarse or hard substances or excessive pulp.
Matthew, should I open my pineapple juice at this point?
Oh, please do. Oh, yeah, okay, open it and see if it contains excessive pulp.
Okay, I'm going to look for it.
Yeah.
Hold on just a second. Chill and shake well before serving. Okay.
Be sure to follow the directions or the FDA may get you in trouble. Oh, yes. Drink up.
Mm. Oh my God. Pineapple juice is so perfect.
Is it same as it ever was?
It's same as it ever was. It has this like intensity of flavor. And I think part of what's nice about it is it's so different from, you know, I'm thinking about the like cranberry juice cocktail. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which has this intense cranberry flavor, right? Even though it's sweetened, but there's a thinness to it. Obviously, because
right.
it's a lot
oh,
of
yeah.
water
pineapple
and sugar.
Pineapple juice has the viscosity.
It has a viscosity to it, which, I mean, like orange juice does too, and unfiltered apple juice and stuff. But still, there's something about the texture of pineapple juice that really contributes to the satisfaction I experience from the flavor
Absolutely,
of it.
Yes. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Do you now also have the song Once in a Lifetime stuck in your head? I have it stuck in my head so hard because I said same as it ever was. Isn't that from that song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Same as it ever was.
I have never seen Stop Making Sense. And
Lori
and I are planning to watch it when we get back because it just had like the big re-release.
Oh, my God.
I'm very excited.
Oh, I would love to go with you. So I saw it when they remastered it in like 1998. And
okay.
I went to the premiere at Castro Theater in San Francisco, and all the Talking Heads were there, all four of them, plus Jonathan Demme, who was still alive then. And it was incredible. Oh, my God. I mean, dancing in the aisles. It was so much fun.
Okay. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on Masterclass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to Masterclass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Back to pineapple juice. This is serious, serious now. Let's talk about using pineapple juice in drinks and cocktails.
Yeah, because I think, you know, people don't... Well, I don't live in a household where we buy a lot of juice. We just aren't big juice people. But, you know, because pineapple juice doesn't live where, like, the fresh juices that I think are much more common now than they were when we were kids. Like,
sure.
I mean, when we were kids, it was like just Tropicana. And now
pretty
there's
much,
like
Simply
every
orange.
Type of fruit juice
yeah.
comes in like a fresh, perishable, refrigerated
Simply
version.
Simply pomegranate.
That's right. And pineapple juice, I don't think I ever see it there. You know, it's like on a different aisle with all the shelf stable.
No, I think it's, I don't think I've ever seen like, you know, refrigerated perishable pineapple juice.
I don't think I have either. And so therefore, I don't think of buying it the same way that I might, if we're having friends over for breakfast, like go buy orange juice.
Yeah.
And I really think that it, I wonder how many people actually keep it around as a juice as opposed to a mixer.
Okay, next time we have friends over for breakfast, a thing we've never done, I'm going to pull out a big can of pineapple juice, or PJ as I call it, and put it in the middle of the breakfast table and bring the church key over and ask, like, who wants to do the honors?
Well, hold on. This raises another question, which is that is there any form of packaging for pineapple juice that you've seen that is reclosable?
That is such a good question.
So
when
you
I was
can't
Googling,
just like buy
I
this
saw
and
it,
keep
but
it around.
Like, can I say, like, you know, in all honesty, that I've seen this in real life? I don't think so.
So
that is weird.
It wouldn't make any sense to buy it the way that you buy orange juice or grapefruit juice or whatever, because
I mean, I'm positive it is sold that way now, but positive is a strong word. I don't know.
That
like
is
I feel
a
like
strong word.
We need to do some Googling. Okay, yeah. Look, here's Libby's pineapple juice sold at Kroger in like a classic plastic juice bottle.
Oh, okay. Okay, does it come refrigerated?
No, it's in the unrefrigerated juice aisle.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So this does exist, but like I don't remember seeing this bottle. So I don't know. You know what I failed to do that I should have done for this show?
What?
Last night, Lori and I went to Bar Victoria, and I could have ordered a pineapple cocktail, but I did not. I didn't think of it.
Speaking of pineapple cocktails, I just thought of one that you hadn't written on the
great.
List here, and so I can't wait to chime in about it. Let's talk about using pineapple juice in drinks and cocktails.
Okay, Molly, have you ever had or are you familiar with tepache?
You know, I have had a version that is sold in like PCC these days.
Okay.
And I have a feeling it is probably not nearly as good as it would be if I had it like in Mexico.
Okay. Well, I want to hear your impression of that one though, because I don't think I've ever had it and didn't really know what it was until I started researching this episode. So tepache is an ancient fermented Mexican beverage made from fermented pineapple peels and then sweetened with sugar and flavored with cinnamon. And it's very lightly fermented and contains very little alcohol.
So I purchased it one day, I think it was summertime, and I had heard of this stuff sort of in the abstract. I saw a can of it, you know, like near a sandwich I was buying at PCC. And I was really drawn in by the
word. One thing we know about Molly is if something is near a sandwich, she will buy it.
She's in it. She's into it. She's getting inside it.
She's in it. You were in the bottle.
The one that I think I bought, I don't think it... Well, I think I was really drawn in by the word pineapple and, of course, fermented. Mm-hmm. I like fermented things. I think I didn't realize that it was pineapple peel. That's so interesting.
No, so the modern like commercial version is made with fermented pineapple juice.
Got it. Okay.
And the most popular brand in Mexico is Frumex Tepachito.
Okay.
And I'm sure this is sold at Mexican groceries in Seattle, and I've never tried it, and will do so soon, and I'll report.
Well, the one that I had, I want to try again because I want to try a different one. I was not thrilled with what I had.
Okay.
But I can't speak to the quality of the brand.
All right. So cocktails. Have you had a pina colada anytime recently?
Have I ever? No, I haven't had one recently, but they're so good. And I always forget when I do have one, how like rich they are too, with the cream of coconut in there,
yes.
The coconut cream.
Yeah, but it has lime also, right?
Yes.
So that cuts the richness a little bit. I think the last time I had one of these, I think we made them at home just because we wanted to say we were drinking pina coladas, and that was in our Broadway East apartment. So it would have been before December turned 2, so a while ago.
Okay, Matthew, what about, have you ever had a jungle bird?
No.
Oh,
I saw a jungle
gosh.
Crow the other day.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
We should tell the listener, we're recording this remotely. You're still in Tokyo.
I'm still in Tokyo for a couple more days.
So I think I first had a jungle bird at a bar in Palm Springs.
Oh, it sounds like a Palm Springs kind of drink.
So I'm looking at a recipe for it on liquor.com right now. Their version has like 1.5 ounces of blackstrap rum.
Okay.
3/4 ounce Campari, 1.5 ounces pineapple juice. 1/2 ounce lime juice, and 1/2 ounce simple syrup.
That sounds really good.
Or demerara syrup if you're feeling mm-hmm. fancy. It is so good. I mean, especially if you like me.
I do like you.
Like bitterness in your cocktails. In this, you get like that delicious pineapple and rum combo plus lime, you know, like the that's what the Holy Trinity is. Rum,
yeah.
Pineapple, and lime juice.
Yes.
And then in this case, you add Campari to that. I mean, what could
interesting.
Be better? Yeah.
Will you like make me or take me for one of those? Make me or take me sometime.
Okay. Yeah.
Make
okay.
me, take me, call me a slag tank.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, Matthew.
All right. So there's the Singapore Sling. I don't think I've ever had one. I do remember seeing them advertised as like the signature cocktail at a fancy movie theater in Bangkok once. Didn't get it.
Yes.
But it's made with gin, cherry brandy, Cointreau, Benedictine, lemon juice, pineapple juice, and bitters, which is a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I assume it's very good.
That
Have you
sounds
had one?
Pretty darn good to me. I've never had a Singapore Sling. No. That sounds fantastic, though.
Maybe. Yeah, we should... We've never done like a tiki drinks episode.
I don't tend to think of myself as a tiki person, but then,
yeah.
You know, I look up the jungle bird and I'm like, well, I like rum and I like lime juice and I like
maybe we could like
pineapple.
Pick like two, we could either go to a tiki bar or we could like pick like a couple that we want to make at home.
I think that sounds great.
Okay, let's do it.
Maybe we could do like a Hallmark holiday movie.
Yes.
With some tiki drinks.
Oh, that mm-hmm. sounds so great.
Yeah,
all right.
I think so, too.
You are on.
Yes.
And yeah, producer Abby gets really upset if one of us watches a Christmas movie before Thanksgiving. So I will watch a Christmas movie like in April just to make Abby mad. It's really funny.
Okay, great.
All right, but we can do it. We can do it next month. And if you're, I think, when does this episode air?
December 14th. So,
okay, great. So next month, meaning January.
No. When Matthew and I are recording this, next month is December. So okay. Whatever month you're listening to this, you could watch a Hallmark Christmas movie and drink tiki drinks.
Yes, that is true.
Just do whatever you need to do to feel right.
Yep. I learned that there's a kind of a trashy version of a pina colada called a Staten Island Fairy that's just Malibu rum and pineapple juice.
You know, I'm pretty sure that I've had that like poolside somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah. Not that I've had that many poolside cocktails, but that does seem like probably something I would have had.
We should have more poolside cocktails.
We should.
We went to a pool once in Hollywood, remember?
That's right. When we were,
but I don't think we had cocktails.
At the IACP conference, right?
Yeah. There's that photo of us. We looked so good. All right. Pineapple juice can also be used as a meat tenderizer or marinade. And it is delicious in marinades. It technically works as a meat tenderizer because it contains an enzyme called bromelain, which breaks down muscle fibers and other tissue.
Ooh.
Using a marinade as a tenderizer, like, doesn't really typically like do what you want it to do, because like either you marinate like for a short time and it doesn't get very far into the meat, or you marinate for a long time and the meat gets mushy. But as a flavoring, pineapple juice in a marinade is great.
So what would be a better way to tenderize something?
Braise it, I think.
Okay. Okay. So a cooking method.
So having said that, okay. So like for stir frying, like, you know, treating meat with a little bit of baking soda for stir frying is like a classic Chinese restaurant technique that like is covered in friend of the show, Kenji's book, The Wok. And I do that at home.
That would be called velveting.
Velveting is a little different.
Oh, okay.
Velveting involves egg whites.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But like it's a related technique for sure.
Got it.
Oh, I learned that bromelain, because it like eats away tissue, has one commercial pharmaceutical use, which is for debriding burn wounds. And debriding is removing the dead tissue. So you're welcome, everybody.
I hope neither of us and none of our listeners ever have any experience with that.
Yep.
So Matthew,
yeah.
I remember in my like early mid-20s, talking with a friend of mine who swore by that like one rumor about pineapple juice. Do you want to explain what this rumor is?
Yes. And we had a listener complain recently that they did not like it when we talked about jizz on the episode. Well, we're doing it again.
Oh, okay. Go on. I was going to say, did they not like us using that word?
Oh, no. It was that we were talking about the substance at all.
Oh, okay. Okay. I feel like we would be, it's a big oversight though to not address
this on an episode
about pineapple juice.
Okay. So I did not know whether this was true or not. And it's not.
Wait, does everybody know what the rumor is?
Oh, sorry. The rumor is that if you are a person who ejaculates semen and you drink pineapple juice, it will make your semen sweet or good tasting.
Mm, okay.
It is not true. There's a great quote from Dr. Jeff Foster, a urologist, who told Mashable, quote, "There are no quality studies that have really looked at this, as it is a difficult thing to justify getting funding for." But having said that, Foster said that in reality, eating these fruits is unlikely to make a difference to semen taste. Quote, "If it did, it would alter the constituents of the medium that the sperm is in and potentially damage it. Semen is almost completely protected from what you eat," he explained.
I was going to say, I feel like, you know, if these vital bodily fluids were that easily affected by things we eat, or, you know, things we ordinarily eat, I think we'd have a lot of problems.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, it's different from like asparagus, like making your pee smell funny, because like pee is something you're trying to get rid of.
And also pee is a direct byproduct too of like digestion, right? I mean, semen serves a different purpose.
It does serve a different purpose than pee. You're right. Okay. I just got an email saying we just got our medical licenses.
I had a feeling we were getting close to earning them, but now we've crossed that line.
Oh, wait. Actually, no. We don't get our medical license until we answer this next question, which when I was Googling this, Google said that people also ask, quote, "What does pineapple do for a woman, Virginia?"
As far as I'm concerned, nothing. Yeah, Virginia.
I was going to say it probably won't hurt, but like that depends sort of probably like how you're applying it.
Wow. Okay. Well, I feel like
if you're a woman in Virginia, get in touch.
All right. So this has been our pineapple juice episode, which I think was really instructive, you know, both in like the knowledge sense and in the like, you know,
What's the other sense of instructive? Well, I'm excited to hear what you say next.
Well, like, is it possible to change the taste of your semen?
Okay.
Probably
yeah.
Probably not. Well, at least not with this stuff.
Right. No, I think you would have to like. I was going to say something really gross. Never mind.
No. Okay. All right. So I hear that we may have a beak of the week.
Yes, we have an emergency beak of the week.
You've got sharp claws so you can perch up high. You've got those wings because they help you fly. You're such an interesting bird. It's beak of the week.
Wife and sister Lori and I have been going to our favorite park in the world, Zenpukuji Park in Western Tokyo, which is a park that is famous for bird watching. We've seen some cool stuff. We've seen the common kingfisher, which I think was a past beak of the week. We've seen some great cormorants. We've seen a gray heron. We've seen some common pochards, which are a cool redheaded duck. But we were there the other day in the rain, and we were like, that looks like a small duck, but not a duckling, and it's not duckling season anyway. What is that? If you're at all interested in birds, you probably have the Merlin bird app on your phone, which can identify a bird from a photo. So I took a photo and it said, oh, that is a little grebe. And I looked at the picture and said, yep, that is absolutely what we're looking at. And a little grebe is one of the most delightful birds you will ever see. It does look kind of like a small duck, but with interesting coloration. And I learned when I did a little more research that grebes are not ducks. They are not geese. They are not closely related to any of those common waterfowl. What they are is small flamingos.
What?
Yes. So grebes and flamingos form a family that doesn't contain any other types of birds.
What do they have in common? I mean, is it like on the like a genetic level?
It's well, there are like some like morphological features that are not obvious in like the developed organism that you would have to like look at the skeleton and stuff to see. But if you having said that, like if you look at pictures of flamingos and grebes, they like, you know, they have like some facial features in common.
I'm going to have to go deep on this.
OK,
so wait, is this why you called it an emergency beak of the week? Where's the emergency in here?
The emergency is that I saw a bird so interesting that we had to bring back beak of the week.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so a little grebe, so cute. We saw two of them in the North Pond at Zenpukuji. Like if you're listening to this today, get over there. They might still be there.
You sent me like a listing, maybe from your Merlin app, about the little grebe, and it has really lovely coloration. Sophisticated, I would say. I mean, I don't mean to like impose my human values onto this thing.
Oh, wow. The grebes are really upset because you did that.
Oh, dear.
It says it's also known as the dab chick.
The dab chick?
Dab chick. Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I want to be a cool dab chick, but I'm really nothing but a slag tank.
A slag tank. Matthew, I've got some spilled mail from listener Jeff.
That would be great. Let's do it.
So listener Jeff says, hi, Matthew and Molly. First off, I want to thank you for the podcast. I recently took some time off to deal with severe anxiety, and your podcast was one of the things that took my mind off things. I've also enjoyed your books and look forward to reading the ones I haven't read yet. Is there any possibility of you teaming up to write a spilled milk book? I've been eating a lot of my favorite meals lately and would like to ask if either of you have any meals that you eat during times of anxiety. Gosh, that's a great question.
Yes.
Okay, well, hold on. I want to address the first question.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any plans to write a spilled milk book.
No,
I don't think we've ever talked about it.
I might write one without telling Molly about it, but teaming up sounds like it could be a lot of conflict.
Absolutely
no,
never.
I think the thing is, like, this show is like silly and like kind of about nothing, which doesn't really translate into book form.
Yeah, sure. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, if someone wants to like come in with an offer, like a big offer, we would consider it.
Yes. But like, Matthew, I mean, and I even, we have the same literary agent. So, you know, we're a one-stop shop here. Agent.
Yeah. Like, it's weird. It's weird that Michael hasn't come to us with an eight-figure offer for the Spilled Milk book.
It is surprising.
Probably we just need to update our contact information.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, I have some thoughts about this, yeah. Like meals during times of anxiety.
Yeah. So, first of all, Jeff, I've been there, man.
Yeah. Matthew and I are both people who struggle or have struggled at various times with anxiety, and we get it. Anyway. Okay. I was going to say, for me, scrambled eggs, perennial, always there for me food, and especially with some grated sharp cheddar folded in, which in my house turns them into cheesy eggs, all one word.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So for me, kind of an ideal meal under those circumstances would probably be cheesy eggs and maybe some boiled potatoes, some kind of potato that boils well, with salted butter on the boiled potatoes and a lot of salt. And that would be it, like, as a baseline. I also think good crusty bread and salted butter mm-hmm. can cure all feelings. And just makes feelings go away. Matthew, you take it away.
Okay. So for me, I'm thinking about this, and it's my answer is going to be less about the specific food and more about kind of the context in which it's prepared. So like when I am feeling anxious, I will seize upon like the act of making food as like a thing I could screw up and disappoint people. And so what I really want is for someone else to cook or get takeout and present it to me in a way that I can't do wrong.
Yeah.
And so like I don't even really feel like cooking for myself. If I'm very anxious, I would rather just like, you know, get some teriyaki madness, like teriyaki from my local teriyaki place. Teriyaki madness is going to be an incredibly soothing meal for me because like it's always going to be the same. It's going to be good. It's going to smell good. It's going to be simple and I don't have to do it. But also like if someone else is cooking and like, you know, cooking something that produces a good smell along the way, like that is going to be very soothing, partly because I'm going to be like, okay, like I can sit over here and do my thing. I don't need to get involved in what's going on in the kitchen. Then we'll sit down together and eat it. And like, I'm just not picky about what the specific food is.
I'm really glad that you raised the issue of sort of, you know, not wanting to cook in those situations. And I think that's actually maybe part of why I chose or thought about the foods I did because
oh, totally.
They're foods that I can't mess up.
Yeah, no, making scrambled eggs does sound really satisfying.
Well, and I also think scrambled eggs for dinner feels very like comforting
to me.
Oh,
yes.
I'm not actually a big hot breakfast person. Mm-hmm. I love scrambled eggs for dinner, though. And we have them, if I have my way, we have them at least once a week.
Nice. Thanks, Jeff. That was a great question.
Thanks.
Molly, do you have a now but wow?
I do, Matthew. You know, I'm going to break now but wow protocol because here's the thing. A number of weeks ago, producer Abby can look this up
vouch.
For me.
Oh, okay.
And can also vouch. A number of weeks ago, I mentioned a book by Rachel Kong, Rachel Kong's second novel, Real Americans.
That was not released yet.
That's right. It's still not released. It's coming out in 2024. Okay. No, it has a character named Matthew. Do you remember that part?
We were joking about that.
Okay. So here's the deal. You know, for many reasons, I feel like it's taking me a while to get through books these days.
Gosh, I can't imagine why.
I can't imagine. It's almost like I have a baby or something. It's weird. Anyway, oh my God, Matthew, I have to mention it again because honestly, I have not enjoyed a book so much in memory.
That's awesome.
It is not only the kind of story that just picks you up and carries you in from page one, but also her writing, like on the sentence level, is just like clean and well-paced and like delightful.
Is it full of small epiphanies like I mentioned in the masterclass ad that may or may not air with this episode?
So glad you asked, Matthew. Well, here's what I can say about it. So it's told from three different generations within the same family.
Okay.
And it's not only interesting on the level of the plot. I mean, and each of these characters is a really interesting person to be inside of. But there's also kind of a mystery you're trying to unravel the entire time. And part of it is kind of a scientific mystery, and part of it has a little touch of magical realism about it.
Nice.
But that's a very small aftertaste it leaves. I really thought long and hard about whether or not I could mention the same thing twice for Now But Wow. But this book is like such a big wow for me. I can't say enough good things about it. I think that this book is going to be huge next year.
Okay. Well, I can't believe you violated protocol this way. You're canceled. No, I can't wait to read this book.
Rachel Kong deserves all the book sales.
Yes. Pre-order it.
Pre-order Real Americans by Rachel Kong. That's spelled K-H-O-N-G. Rachel Kong also used to be an editor at Lucky Peach.
Great food writer, too.
Has a great history as a food writer. There's a lot of food in this book, too, which is delightful. God, right out, I'm thinking right now of a scene early in the book, maybe like on page 9 or 10, when the narrator is eating shrimp cocktail and has just like a really funny observation about what it is like to chew shrimp.
That's this kind of small epiphany that I meant.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, I'm so excited for her. I'm so excited for the world to get to read this book. Yeah.
I'm excited for me because I haven't read it yet.
Great.
All right. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Molly has an excellent newsletter that I'm always excited to see pop up in my inbox. It's called I've Got a Feeling, and you can subscribe at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
Mm-hmm. And if you didn't know it already, now you do. Matthew is a singer and a songwriter and also plays multiple instruments. Matthew is a part of two bands and also collaborates with other people. You can find his music all over the place on the internet. One of his bands is called Early to the Airport and the other is Twilight Diners.
Thank you. Thank you. What a great plug. Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. And check in with other Spilled Milk listeners at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com. I think I fixed, for a while, our email address wasn't on our website for some reason. I think I fixed that. But anyway, if you want to send us some spilled mail, it's contact@spilledmilkpodcast.com.
We love to hear from you. All right. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show has been hosted since 2010 by a couple of real slag tanks.
You know, this show is a difficult thing to justify getting funding for.
Well, that explains a lot. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Wait, I'm PR1-67.
Oh, and I'm Smooth Cayenne.
Woo! Okay. I put everything spilledmilk.spilledmilk.com, which is wrong.
That's wrong.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.